You may have heard in the news Ron Brown was talking about this. Hundreds of teens crowded in the streets, fist fights, tasers, a gun, at least one gunshot. That was the scene Friday night in Streeterville, which is in the ritzy area in Chicago, right? Police said officers were on patrol near the intersection of Columbus and Illinois Street in that neighborhood when they heard gunshots, saw a large group of about 100 people, maybe more, fleeing. Officers found a 15-year-old boy on the ground. He was taken to Lurie's Children's Hospital. He's reported to be in good condition. This follows an incident right nearby that happened just weeks ago when a tourist was shot near the AMC River East movie theater. On the phone right now from the Second Ward, Alderman Brian Hopkins. Hi, Alderman Hopkins. How are you today?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Okay. Thank you for joining us on a Sunday afternoon. But following what is happening repeatedly, I don't know that you know this. There was an incident, and I know this is true because I saw the video. It was it may have not been reported by the general media, but there was a similar type of event right near the Lincoln Park Zoo. I mean, this is happening not only in the Second Ward, but randomly, it seems, in the Loop, not all that long ago, in the South Loop, not all that long ago, in various places around the city. Would you agree that something more needs to be done?
Oh, absolutely. I've been saying that for a number of years now. Of course, you have to get specific. It isn't enough to say something must be done. You know, we need to start talking about what that something is. As I'm sure you know, I have a proposal to change the curfew hour from 10 p.m. to 8 p.m. I believe that would help. It's a step in the right direction. Many of these incidents have occurred between those 2 hours of 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So to give the police the ability to move in a little bit sooner and try to interdict and intervene in these large group takeovers, it would help. So that's one of many things that we're talking about right now. That could help make a difference.
Now, the mayor, Mayor Brandon Johnson, says he is opposed to that. And he said, and I'm quoting, no one wants to see the reckless and dangerous behavior that was exhibited last night. And we are not going to tolerate that in our city. Our police department is currently investigating the incident. Well, it has been tolerated in the city for some time. And it seems as though if arrests are made, you're greatly talking about minors, so nothing really happens. There are no consequences. And that is something that is beyond my comprehension. One more thing before you comment. When I was a kid, if I were to do anything like this at all, there would be consequences, not only from the police department, but at home as well. Should guardians, parents in many cases, but not all, be held responsible?
I think a strong argument can be made for that. You would have to craft that law carefully to make sure you are, in fact, targeting the guardian or the parent or you know, the authority figure that's responsible for that child. Remember, it's not always obvious. It isn't always the biological mother, the biological father, whoever the primary caregiver is, that allowed that person, you know, that young person to be downtown with a weapon at 10 p.m. on a weeknight. It's not so simple to identify that, you know, whose fault it is. So I'm not saying we shouldn't be looking at ways to do that. Of course, you know, we've all just seen the prosecution of the family of the Highland Park shooter. You know, that was a much more obvious cause and effect because the gun was purchased. But that's an example of how a family member can be held responsible for the criminal acts of a child that is in their family. But in order to do that, we would need state law. That is not something that the city council can enact. That would require state legislation. And this state legislature would never, never do such an act. So we can talk about it. But it ain't going to happen as long as we have the General Assembly that passed the Safety Act and has done more pro-criminal policy changes in the last 3 or 4 years than I could even begin to count right now. They're certainly not going to do anything that would be perceived as being tough on crime. Their intention is to go easy on criminals.
So the mayor has also said we need more alternatives. I'm paraphrasing at this moment. for young people, other things for them to do. I would argue we have a lot of things for other people to do beside for those young people to do. Beside, he's been talking about this for some time now. So where are those other things for people to do if they're but to me, there are lots of alternatives that are already exist, and I have no issue whatsoever with finding more, but that doesn't seem to be in of itself the answer.
Well, congratulations, Steve. You agree with the mayor on something. So do I. You know, the mayor has consistently said that we need to have alternatives, we need to have programs, we need to have counselors, you know, we need to have support, places where young people can go. So they're not just running loose on the streets, but they're engaged in organized activities. I completely agree with that. And to your point that we're actually doing that, not just talking about it, you're 100% right. I happen to find it, you know, both ironic and instructive that the day after this 300-person mob takeover in the streets of Streeterville, the day after that happened, we had over 1,000 young people come to Streeterville. And instead of taking over the streets and robbing the 7-Elevens and attacking people and shooting people, they went to Navy Pier. And we had an organized event for them there. We had entertainment. We had a job fair. We had counselors on staff. We had help screen. We had everything they could want, the most supportive and encouraging environment you could want. And I was there. And I talked to some of these young teenagers after they left, and they all kind of said something like, yeah, we thought this was going to be lame-o. And it was cool. We loved it. Do it again. The reviews of this from the kids themselves was very positive. So absolutely, we need to do more of that. That's a big part of this. Where I disagree with the mayor, and I'm sure you probably would too, is when he says, because we can do more of that, we need to do less law enforcement. We need less police, and we need to stop intervening in criminal behavior. That is utter nonsense. We need to do both. And we need to do more of both, and they're both connected to the larger issue, you know, of an equitable balance in society and root causes and all of that. It's all connected, but both interventions, law enforcement and addressing social needs, are connected. They're part of the larger solution, and I get very upset when I hear people like the mayor pit one against the other and try to use one to say that the other isn't necessary. That is complete nonsense.
And what I think doesn't much matter, but what listeners think, I think, does matter. So text after text is saying this, in essence, where are the police in all this? There aren't enough of them. They are overwhelmed, and we don't have enough police, and they are not given enough power to do what they need to do. How do you comment on that?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. You know, we did have sufficient police on Saturday night, the second night of the weekend here. We were anticipating a possible repeat. We were able to bring more police resources, and they were able to act as a deterrent. It's very expensive, by the way, to have all these police, many of them collecting overtime, and have them babysit a 7-Eleven or stand there by the Sheridan Hotel or whatever. But they do provide a visible deterrent, and that works. It costs a lot, and it arguably it's not sustainable. We remain short of about 2,000 patrol officers citywide. So the only way we were able to get a handle on the events of Friday night and eventually stop it, we eventually stopped it around 10:45. We had to bring in police from other districts, and you know we had to leave them short. And the same thing happened Saturday night. Saturday night was much more effective. You know, the weather was probably a factor. It wasn't as warm. It was a little bit rainy. So a lot of the kids who said they were going to come downtown did not. But the ones that did, we were ready for them. And we had that visual deterrent, and it worked.
The word I see in text after text, and we only have just over a minute here, is consequences. We talked about it earlier. Would you agree, though, that if there's a magic word, that is it?
Well, there are consequences to especially curfew enforcement. When 10 o'clock rolled around on Friday, the order went out. I was there. I was embedded with the police at the time. I heard the order start rounding them up for curfew. Now, these are not arrests. They're taken into protective custody, and they're taken to the police station. They're not arrested, but they're held until a responsible adult can come and get them, and then they're released. Those are consequences. It may not be, you know, as severe as some people would like. But to say that there aren't consequences isn't correct either. And believe me, it does have a deterrent. These young people do not want to be picked up, even if it's only for a few hours. And this, of course, applies to only minors, 17 years old and younger. So it doesn't apply to adults like you and me, or even Paul Lisnick, who, of course, is an adult but much younger than you. So you have to be 17 or under for the curfew to apply.
All right, Alderman, you got that in. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
You knew it was coming, Steve.
I didn't really, but that's okay. I'll get him right back. I can assure you. Thank you very much, Alderman.
Have a good day.
Thank you.